Isaiah 11 chapter, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." May the Lord add a blessing for those that do and follow his will.
Cross I'll meekly bear. Anywhere, home sweet home, Christ my Lord, only there.
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To whom be glory both now and forever. Amen." I want to say good evening. It's been a relatively nice day, cold, wet. But God is in control of all the seasons and the time and the temperature and all those things that he blesses us with for reasons that we simply cannot know. The lesson tonight is entitled "Long Before Christmas." There are some things that are connected with the birth of Jesus that we see all the time as we look through the scriptures, but we probably never ever connect them with the birth of Jesus. His birth, his life, his death, burial, resurrection is what God has given us that we might have eternal life. And have that eternal life secure through our faith and the knowledge that God is certainly our Savior. He is who he said he is, and he's our rescuer and our Redeemer. I'd like to look at Christ's birth tonight from an Old Testament prophet's point of view. We usually look at this event, the birth of Christ, as something that happened in the past. Most of the time, that's how we look at it. But for many centuries, the birth of Christ was something that was seen in the future. So we're going to go back in time and examine what this event meant for those who saw something that we just didn't see. They saw hope in it, and the hope was somewhere in the future. It wasn't buried deep in the past. They didn't celebrate a past event. They celebrated a future event in their lives where Christ would come and make everything all right. The Old Testament period we're going to look at is at the time of Isaiah the prophet, who lived in the 7th century before Christ. The nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The kingdom was united under Saul, David, and Solomon, and that kingdom was split in two by a civil war after King Solomon died. And Isaiah lived and worked in the southern kingdom and dwelt in the city of Jerusalem. He was from an influential family, and Isaiah was a well-educated man. His name meant "God is salvation." And he served as a preacher for the royal family throughout the reigns of several kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And all those kings were kings of the southern kingdom. He made prophecies concerning what would happen to Judah, the southern kingdom, within a century's time. And history verifies that all of his prophecies came true. One prophecy was given as the entire region was going through a severe crisis. Isaiah had predicted that the northern kingdom would be destroyed and the people taken into captivity. This took place shortly after, as Assyria came in and conquered the northern kingdom and scattered its people around 721 BC. In addition to this prophecy about this event, Isaiah makes another prophecy saying that despite this region's defeat, there would come from it one day a wonderful Savior who would give favor before the whole world. In spite of all the defeat that they have had, there was going to be born into their lives someone who would save them and save them from all the terrible things they have had in their lives. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 says these words, "For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us." Most of the time we look at the scripture and we don't connect the scripture with the birth of Jesus Christ and the ongoing holiday and all those celebrations. But it says, "And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with the justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Well, the people of that time, the prophecy foretold not only the destruction, but of hope in a time of peace and a hope of restoration. The fortunes of those kingdoms went up and down throughout history, just like our lives go up and down throughout history. One day our spirit is up, the next day our spirit is down. Sometimes we have hope, sometimes we don't have any hope. Sometimes we have peace, sometimes we don't have any peace at all. But God sends us Jesus Christ for the restoration of our lives. And that restoration would come, and it would ease our minds, and it would give our souls comfort, knowing that in and as Jesus Christ, God has come to this world to rescue us from even our own selves. And into our lives was born one such Jesus the Christ. And we have the opportunity right now to be restored as a result of that. The northern kingdom was never restored fully, and eventually became the dwelling place of a mixed race called the Samaritans. They were hated by the Jews, and they hated the Jews as well. The southern kingdom itself was defeated and destroyed, and its people carried off into captivity in Babylon, 587 BC. They returned 70 years later to rebuild the city and the temple, but never regained the old glory and wealth that they had under Solomon. All the prophecies that Isaiah made about their military and political future were fulfilled except this one concerning the birth of a child, the Wonderful Counselor. At this time, those who longed for the Messiah spoke of many prophecies, including Isaiah. You know, they looked back to this particular prophecy to indicate great joy that was going to come in their lives when this Messiah would be born. Of course, we understand that as the world celebrates the birth of Christ, they connected with Christmas and not all those things that the Bible speaks about. But of course, we understand the Jews didn't celebrate Christmas either in the Old Testament. But the thought or anticipation of the birth of the Messiah brought them joy like it does for us. And there were several things that were particular to them that gave them reason for that joy. The first one was that his birth would signal the end of the reign of Satan on this earth. The birth of Christ would end all of those things that Satan has been beating us down with all of our lives. The term government refers to the empire, and shoulders refers to his authority. From the fall of Adam to the birth of Christ, Satan held men prisoners through their ignorance and fear of death. But with the arrival and the birth of Jesus Christ, sin would be atoned for, and eternal death would be eliminated. Jesus would bring a new order, a new government. It would rest on his shoulders, a new empire, a new authority on earth to displace the old authority of sin and death. Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." And this fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that the government will be resting on his shoulders. We see these scriptures all the time and we never connect them with the birth of Christ, but the government will rest on his shoulders. All authority will be given to Christ. The Jews of the time saw this as the hope of being free. Free from human oppressors and free from themselves and free from the clutches of sin. But the implication of these words were much wider than we can even think or imagine. They had other reasons for their joyful anticipation as well. His birth would be a revelation of God in history, a full revelation. In the Old Testament, name stood for who you were. It was a mark of individuality. Isaiah confers four names on this newborn babe, and each of these names is used to refer to divinity elsewhere in the scripture. Not just ordinary names, not just compliments. They refer to the Godhead himself. Another feature of these names was that each one described the way in which the Messiah would reveal his divine nature to man. And it's interesting to understand that during his ministry and his life on this earth, that Jesus fulfilled each of these names during his ministry. Wonderful Counselor. How many times have we read that? A wonderful counselor would be born that would just bring peace. He would be a miraculous advisor. He would read the minds of man and he would know their hearts. In John 16, the apostles believed that he was divine because of his teaching. He was a wonderful counselor. A mighty God, he had all the power in his hands. All power and all authority and all might was his. And powerful signs and wonders were seen as the Christ walked this earth. And they were witnesses of his divine nature. They saw him heal the sick and made the lame to walk. They saw him made the mute talk and the blind to see. John the Baptist says, are you the one that we seek? Are you the Christ? He says, go and tell him that I am he. Because miracles are being performed right in your sight. I am God. I am. Eternal Father. How can these words speak of a newborn babe? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Eternal Father. It's amazing to me how Isaiah refers to someone yet unborn as eternal. And this is how God wants to refer to us as well. Those who are not Christians, yet unborn, you can be born again into Christ and yet have eternal life. You can be eternal. And Isaiah speaks to the people of the nation of Israel, of an unborn child that will be eternal. You know what this suggests? That the one to be born as human already existed, even though his birth was being predicted. He was already here before he came. Imagine that. Imagine that. We're talking about a God who would be born into this world as a man and would live his life on this earth as a man and would die on this earth as a man and would be resurrected as a flesh and blood man and be referred to as our eternal Father. Remember in John 14, Philip was looking at the Christ. And he says, show me the Father. Can you just show me the Father, Jesus? You know, we done been with you all this time. Show me. Jesus says, you done been with me a long time. And yet you don't know me? If you've seen me, you have seen. Amen? You know, it's amazing how some baby boys look just like their dads, isn't it? It's amazing. I know how God does that. I guess they call it DNA or whatever. God did that before he even discovered the three words DNA, three letters. It was God. Christ was revealed the very nature of God, revealing himself as the eternal Father in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. He was the Prince of Peace. And what's so ironic about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, he says that I didn't come to bring peace upon this world. I came to bring a sword. Amen. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. He said there would be conflict between people, between families. He came to bring a sword, not the peace he brings. It's between me and God. Not man and man. He brings peace between me and the Father because we're enemies and aliens to God. And here comes this baby. You know, as far-fetched as it seems, sometimes we believe if they have a baby that everything in their lives will be made all right. They're fussing and fighting and just can't get along. And here comes the baby. The baby's going to put it all together. That simply doesn't make it. But Jesus brought this baby into this world that we might have peace because we were enemies of God. And because of this baby, Jesus, the Christ, we can have peace with God. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "In me you may have peace, because in the world you have tribulation." Only through Jesus Christ will the world ever find peace with God. We can find peace with each other from time to time, but only through the birth of Christ, when the turmoil is going on in your life, when you just can't seem to get out of the dark, when everywhere that you turn, you just can't seem to even find yourself. Jesus Christ brings peace to us, and he gives us peace of mind, know that God is our Father, he's the eternal Father, and only through Christ can we find peace with God. So until the birth of Christ, the world really didn't know who God was. But Isaiah prophesied when the child would come, everyone would know. Everyone would know that he was the wonderful counselor, because they would learn the wisdom of God. When the child was born, everyone would know that he was the mighty God, because they would see the works of God. Everyone would know that he's the eternal Father because he not only touched the form of God, he revealed himself as God as well. When the child would come, Isaiah's prophecy said that they would receive a blessing of salvation from the Prince of Peace. No more calamity with sin in our lives. Resting in calm and comfort in the bosom of the Prince of Peace. Isaiah's prophecy foretold a time when God would be seen even more clearly than through the prophets. Just like himself, who predicted his coming, they looked on the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with joy, because his birth would mark a time when the kingdom of heaven would be established on earth. It would be a point in history when the government of God would be established on earth and expand until the end of time. It would be a point in history when the church would come into fruition and we would be blessed by God to enter therein into the kingdom of God. The New Testament reveals that God's government, his kingdom, is a kingdom which he is the head of. It's the church. It's not a political kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that's what Isaiah is talking about right here. He says the child is going to be born and he will establish a kingdom forever. Forever. And at the end of that time, all governments, all human systems, all will fall, and the only government that will be standing, the only system that will remain in place, will be the kingdom of God and his head. Thank God for Jesus Christ and the church. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to stand when nothing else is standing, because Christ was born on this earth to fulfill that purpose. You know what Philip 2:9 says? Sometimes people don't even pay babies attention. They think that they're real cute, and sometimes when they cry a little bit too much, they want to separate themselves from them, or they got to change two or three diapers. They don't want to be bothered with no babies. They got their own lives to live. Amen? But you know what Paul said to the Philippian church about this Jesus Christ? Whether the world looks at him as a baby or not, Paul said to the church of Philippi that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the mighty God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, this child that was born, is the Prince of Peace, that he is the wonderful counselor. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the eternal Father that came into our lives. You know, up until the birth of that child, up until the birth of the Messiah, spoken by Isaiah, all of us were denied entry into the kingdom, all but his death, burial and resurrection, his birth from the dead. He was the firstborn of all creatures from the dead. His birth from the dead gave us life and opened wide the kingdom of heaven, those doors that we might go in. Something we had to do as well. Just like Jesus, we're to be born upon this earth as well. Nicodemus, how can we enter the womb a second time and be born again? He says, listen, Nicodemus, you're one of the smartest men out here. I'm telling you, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we find ourselves in the spiritual kingdom of God as newborn babes. And we grow thereby. And God nourishes us and feeds us and gives us comfort and peace, shepherds our souls, and guides us into that eternal kingdom that we call home. There are a lot of legitimate reasons out there to rejoice about the birth of Christ. But I want to tell you tonight that long before Christmas, long before this holiday was ever conceived or celebrated, Jesus Christ was already here. He was here before he was even a baby. He was here. And God sent that wonderful gift wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, that we might behold the glory of God. Now, the anticipation of gift giving and receiving is fun. And there's a spirit of benevolence that exists even in the most cold-hearted people in this world. They understand the spirit of benevolence during this time of the year. And this might be an opportunity for each and every one of us to strike up a conversation about what they feel about the baby Jesus and bring him into the realm of the adult and living God who is Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. You got to start your conversation about a baby, do that. Amen? Because most of the time, babies have on cute clothes. Talk about the clothes he had on. Talk about the God of our salvation who was given to us as a gift. Anticipation is wonderful. Gift giving is wonderful. But God gave us the most wonderful, unspeakable gift we can ever think or imagine. He gave us of himself. God gave us of himself. See, we crucified God on that cross. From the time he got here, from the time he died, people were trying to kill him. And it was a little baby. This is, you know, Herod, there's the king coming, Herod. What you going to do? I want you to kill every firstborn there. Go get him. Go get him. But God, in all his providence, he says, you know what? There's a census coming up. Y'all going to let people count you. Amen? You can't script your life. If God is in our lives are going to be ordered by God. What a wonderful thing that is. Let's just wait patiently for him and let him do it. Let him do it. There are a lot of reasons for the joy that's found this time of the year. And for some people, it becomes a sad time of the year because there's no joy in their hearts at all because they just don't know God. They don't know him. They don't know him. And the true reasons for the joy has nothing to do with money. The true reason for joy has nothing to do with those material gifts we receive. The true joy in it all has nothing to do with the wonderful food that we receive on that day. But the true joy that we see is quite biblical in nature. His birth is the cause of our joy. His birth signals the end of the regime of sin and death. And signaled it, it ushered in new authority, dealing with people through grace and truth, and giving them all the love that God can ever give us. The birth of Christ opened our eyes to see God in a way that we could never see him before, and it brought the glorious kingdom of heaven right here on earth, and opened the door to all of us, opened up our hearts and our minds for those of who believed and were baptized to just come on in. You know, one thing that I do understand, and I just want to qualify this, I want to let you know one thing. I really feel sorry for the people who celebrate Christmas in ignorance of these facts. I feel sorry for the people who read this all the time, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Eternal Father, and never connected with the joy that God has given each and every one of us. Sometimes we quote those things to comfort ourselves in our time when we're sulking and full of sorrow, when there's melancholy in our lives. But these scriptures are scriptures that are filled with joy that comes from an anticipation that God is coming to live with us on this earth. And he has come, and he's living among us. And we possess eternal life as a result of that. And our joy, not only on that day, but our joy throughout the whole entire year, ought to come from a true knowledge of God. Ought to come from knowing that we're members of his kingdom, the church. Ought to come from the hope that we have in Christ of eternal life. You know, you and I ought to. You and I should. You and I must praise God for sending his son to be born as a man and bless us with such wonderful and rich gifts. Gifts we take for granted. Gifts we don't even talk about. Who talks about eternal life? We just talk about coming to church. That's all. Don't talk about eternal life. Who talks about the knowledge, the true knowledge of God and knowing who Jesus Christ is and how he transforms our lives? Who talks about that? Especially not at Christmas, all we talk about is that little baby. And that Mary brought forth the Son, and we need to worship Mary. God gave us Christ. Understand that. Not me. One thing I feel sorry for as well is that if some people are only celebrating the season but can't celebrate the sun, what a shame it is. What a shame it is. Because you're not one of his disciples, so you don't understand. And if there are those who are celebrating the season and not the sun, and they're celebrating because they're unfaithful to God, you can make it right. You can understand what Isaiah is talking about in chapter 9. You can make it right. You can repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. You can be restored and allow the government of God to rest on your shoulders. Allow his name, Wonderful Counselor, to be written on your hearts. Allow the mighty God to change your life, the Eternal Father. Lead us into heaven in the Prince of Peace to guide us calmly through this life as we follow God into heaven. Yes, he came. He came, and he came long before Christmas ever was. And he's going to be here long when Christmas is gone. Jesus Christ is still going to be here. So we have a decision we have to make. God was here long before Christmas. Will we be there for God when Christmas is gone? What about the day after Christmas? Will we even think about Jesus? Out of sight, out of mind. Amen. What a shame that is. You're playing with toys. You're playing with our lives as well if we don't understand. God sent Jesus Christ to seek and save those that were lost. That includes me and you and you and you. Long before Christmas, there was Christ. Allow God to change your lives by understanding his will and hearing his word and believing that he is the Christ. Repenting of your sins. Get rid of all your ignorance and open up the Bible so you can see what those things actually mean that you're saying and connect them in the context with our spiritual lives, with heaven. Connect them. So when you say Mighty God or Eternal Father, when you say Prince of Peace, when you say Mighty Counselor, when you say these things, when you say the government's going to be in your shoulder, know full well that is a gift from God that allows us to understand those things. And that gift is Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And he wants you to confess your sins today. Those of us that are in the church and are sliding, they're looking for the wrong gift on Wednesday. Those of us that are sliding and looking for the wrong thing on Wednesday. Let's look for God every day because he sent us Christ already. He's been revealed and he's here even now in our lives. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Amen. How about you tonight? God was here long before Christmas, and he's going to be here long after Christmas is gone. Won't you receive him tonight as we stand and sing God's invitation song?